I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Rebecca Rosenblum has just published her first novel, So Much Love. In the book, a young woman vanishes without a trace from her small town. We read throughout the book as to what it's like for those left behind as they cope. I'll get Ms. Rosenblum to tell us as much as she likes as to what happens next. Perhaps we'll reflect on the themes of resilience and recovery and, of course, loss and tragedy. The reviews of the book have been quite good. Rebecca Rosenblum is the author of two acclaimed books of fiction, The Big Dream and Once. She's been shortlisted for a number of awards. She has degrees from McGill, Ryerson, and the University of Toronto. Her website is at RebeccaRosenblum.com, and the Twitter handle is at RebeccaRosenblum. This book is published by McClelland & Stewart. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Rebecca Rosenblum. Ms. Rosenblum, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us as much as you like about what happens in the book, So Much Love. I mean, I'll try in the introduction, but I've tried to be as vague as possible.
Okay, sure. Well, there's a lot going on. There's a young woman that's gone missing, and that's kind of the heart of the book. Her name is Catherine Reindeer, and she's kind of the second abduction in this small university town. The first is a young man from the high school, and then about a month later, Catherine goes missing. And we get a lot of different reactions to her absence, both from people who knew her very well, her mother, her husband, and also people who didn't. Someone she waitressed with, her professor at the university. We hear different things about Donnie, the young man who's there, who's been disappeared as well, from his girlfriend. There was a poet in the same town about 15 years prior who was murdered, and that was a poet that Catherine read a lot and really found very interesting. And we hear a bit about her life as well. And so it sounds really complicated. It's certainly complicated to write, but I feel like when I finally completed the novel, it was really more or less a whole. It does tell a coherent story, and I think if you read it, well, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I've started it, and I can't wait to get into it a lot more, because there's so many beautiful lines in it. You know, just the turns of phrase that you employ that are just evocative, as well as you know, it just grabbed me, you know.
Well, thank you so much.
So the people who tell the story are who?
Everybody. Each chapter is really narrated by whoever the central character is, either in first or third person, kind of depending on how close they feel to their own events. But also, you do eventually start to hear things from Catherine's perspective, and that was something that was obviously very challenging, and I was very careful to do it with like a great deal of respect, but I felt like it was so important, because there are so many novels that we read where there's a kidnapping or an act of violence. It's kind of somewhere in the background. It's on the news. The characters are troubled by it, but the main action of the novel is somewhere else. And eventually the news gets turned off, and they go about with what is really important in their daily lives. And it's fair, because a lot of us here in Canada do have that privilege. A lot of our lives happens with bad news kind of in the background, and at some point we do turn it off, and that we're tremendously lucky. But I wanted to make that kind of larger empathic leap in this book and look at the people who really, they don't get to turn the news off. They're living it. And it's with them every moment. So I wanted to look at Catherine's voice, look at Juliana's voice, and see how they related to the events in their own lives.
Yeah, because when we hear, like, you know, oh, something happened to the neighbor across the street, it impacts so many other people. I mean, we lose sight of that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we are connected, I believe, really strongly in that, and community, and some of those connections are wonderful and sustaining, and some of them aren't that great. But I think it's so important to remember that kind of spider web of attachment and care. I mean, you don't have to know someone very well to care about them and to want them to be okay.
So one reader, one reviewer, I should say, of the book cited the first chapter in that it was note perfect. And it's what I read, and it's what drew me into the book. And I guess I'm not a savvy enough fiction reader that it took me a while to realize that the professor was a guy.
Okay.
Is that normal, I guess, or am I just not, I don't read enough fiction that I didn't get that right away?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much it matters to you. Like, if it's very important to you to know the gender of the speaker,
yeah,
and
no,
you didn't know,
yeah,
then that's a failure in the writing, I think, or at least
no,
something
I guess what surprised me at the end of it was that as a professor, he thought a lot about this student who disappeared.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to kind of look at what his motivations are. Are they, like, completely pure? Is his interest in her purely academic? Like, why is he so upset? I mean, is it part of just, the normal community of care that I was talking about? Often there's a lot of different reasons going on. You can't just kind of isolate one.
Yeah. But then, you know, what it got me thinking about was my level of empathy. I mean, when I do hear something in the news, like the family across the street, their house burned down, or someone is murdered, and I don't really think about the people around them that are affected by all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that something that readers have told you they've been thinking about, say? Or is it just probably just me?
No, I think so. I think I read one review online that said the thing that she found most chilling about the book is it never gets into the reasons of the kidnapper, like why he chose to do what he did, or why he chose the people that he did. And she found, because you do kind of want to separate yourself from tragedy. You want to say, well, that happened to them, but it wouldn't happen to me because I'm not like them. I don't have a gas furnace, you know, so my house can't burn down because the reason theirs burned down is they had a gas furnace and there was a problem, and that's why it happened. You want there to be a reason why you're safe. But if you don't know the reason why they weren't safe, then you can't exempt yourself. That we're all in a little bit of peril all the time. We have to be. To be alive, there has to be the possibility of something terrible happening. But it's very hard to process that on a day-to-day basis.
So do you write about things that scare you, say? I mean we live in such an uncertain world as it is. When you write about something like a kidnapping or death or violence, crime, does that help you process, say, the bad parts of life a little bit easier?
This book was a big departure for me. It's certainly a lot darker than what I've written in the past. But I think always as a writer, I'm going for the places of discomfort, for the things that I don't understand and I want to understand. And I think that writing is the tool that I have at my disposal to try to make sense of things. And there are, you know, violence, especially the kind of violence that I describe, like maybe we're never going to fully understand it, or someone who has never been a perpetrator of that kind of violence is never going to understand it. But I want to get as close as I can. And so, yes, I was writing into fear, into what I'm most afraid of, to see what it looks like inside. So that was really challenging, but it's what drew me. Like, I tried to stop writing this book several times over many years, and I always had to come back to it. I needed to write it. I was fascinated by it at the same time as I was disturbed by it. It just wouldn't let me be.
So when it stirs feelings in readers, you know, certain feelings, emotional feelings and the sort, what's it like for the writer who's created it? I mean, did you go through the same process of trying to understand dark thoughts even?
I did. And, like, I came out the other side understanding more without understanding everything. Certainly, like, readers have reacted. I mean, it's not been out that long. It's only been out maybe 6 weeks, and already readers have reacted so variously. You know, people really find it just incredibly moving, incredibly distressing. They find it really alienating and confusing. They find it really empowering and inspiring. Like, there's so many reactions because there's so many people, and we're all bringing our own experiences as readers and what we've read in the past and the ways that we read and also our experiences as humans to the book. And so, I mean, of course, I'm always sad when someone is upset by the work or doesn't feel it resonates. But it's fair. I mean, they're bringing their life experience and their reading experience to it and saying, this doesn't work in my context. And that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, in terms of, because you depict relationships throughout the book that people have with one another in various degrees, you know, what do you know now about the relationships that people cultivate in life that you didn't know before writing this book?
Oh, that's such a good question. It took me a long, long time to get the right title for this book. It took me a long time to realize that all of the chapters, all of the perspectives, were about love, because we have this idea in our kind of romantic comedy culture that love is always a good thing. It's always the best thing. Love will save you.
Yeah.
And, you know, can.
Yeah,
it definitely can. But love can also be a very dark thing and a very harmful thing, or just, you know, something that's impotent, something that, you know, means well but doesn't really help. Love has many flavors, and at the end of the day, I was really exploring all of them, or trying to. I mean, you can never be as complete as you want, but it was so satisfying when I found this title for the book and realized, yes, every perspective in this book is a perspective of love.
Yeah, and so does that clarify, say, relationships you have now or have had in the past after writing this book?
I don't know. Like, I tried to write this book 3 times, starting in the year 2000. So it's been with me a long time. It's a long relationship just between me and the book.
Yeah.
And the first 2 times, I really couldn't do it. And part of that reason is I was not a good enough writer at that point in my life, and I just didn't have the technical acumen to do all the different things I needed to do. But I think there was some life experience missing, and the thing that I did before I took the third shot at it was fall in love and get engaged, and I'm married now. And I don't know. I don't think you necessarily need life experience to write things, but in this case, it really helped me to just be in love and to have that kind of experience on my side going into it. Because it helps to be able to look at both sides of it, like the best of love and the worst, to be that far inside it. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does, yeah. Because I guess we also think that getting to that place where you found love in whatever form that might be, with whatever relationship that might be, that's it. You know what I mean? That there's more to it. I mean, you know, it continues and it grows and it sometimes it ends, right?
Yeah, and it also it can change in tone, it can change in flavor, and it can really improve or take on a much darker note. There's definitely a romantic relationship in the book that maybe starts out in one kind of rosier context and goes very much to another place. To see that as all part of a piece, like not the end of love, but another darker permutation of love, I felt like that was a really big revelation to me. A really sad one in a way, but I spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Yeah. Did you do research as to how people who are victimized, because you deal with trauma in the book, or victims themselves, but people near them, as to how they deal with that trauma?
I did, yeah. It was really a two-prong kind of thing. I did a lot of reading from people who experienced trauma, wherever I could find their own voices as survivors. That was what I was, of course, most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of what I read was devastating. You know, I just felt like some of what was published was maybe exploitative or just really troubling. And I read it all. I felt like it was my duty to these people who had experienced this, these events, and also to attempting to represent something like that on the page. I read quite a bit on that front, and some of it was really inspiring, just amazing what human beings can do. I'm really just in awe. And then I also read some kind of psychological work about coping with trauma and how people come out of it and how things can go right and how they can help themselves and how things might not go so well. And just the challenges someone faces when they are a survivor and they've come out alive, but maybe not completely intact, and how to heal themselves and how to look for healing. There are so many wonderful resources out there, and I think that's inspiring, but there's so much that we put on people who have already suffered. Like, you've been through so much, and now here's what you have to do.
You have to tell us about it, yeah. Yeah. Resilience. I mean, the strength that we have. I mean, we always doubt ourselves, don't we, in terms of challenges that are ahead of us or that pop up out of nowhere. We don't think we can make it, but people generally do, don't they?
Yeah. And in such surprising ways, and we really all go back to our own core strengths, as different as they may be, and look to that as our way of survival. So even though these characters that I wrote aren't based on anyone, and they're very idiosyncratic, and they do things in their own way, but I felt like the core of truth to them was that we all do fall back on our strengths, whatever they are, when we're scared and when we're desperate and we're really looking for a way to survive. So I felt that was very true to the research that I did, even though I never based any of my characters on anyone in real life.
What's it been like these past few weeks as the book's come out, in terms of talking to people about it and traveling? You've done some travel. I mean, you were out here in Vancouver recently, is that right?
Yes, that was wonderful, except for the rain. But yeah, the Insight Reading Series in the Vancouver Public Library hosted me, and that was just a wonderful experience. And I've done quite a few readings. It's been great. Exhausting. But that's what you want. You want to be tired. I mean, I spent so long kind of alone with this book and working with my editor, Anita Chong, to make it work, to make it good and make it accessible and readable. And now I want to bring it to readers and hear what they're saying and hear how they're reacting to it. So that I've been given so many opportunities to do that is just amazing. It's a huge gift.
Now, you've written two previous short fiction collections, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is it a different mindset that you have to undergo in terms of writing, say, short fiction as opposed to a novel?
Well, here's the thing. I had a lot of help. I originally wrote this, the two earlier false starts, I started it as a novel, and both times I wasn't able to do it. So the third time I started it, I decided I would go to my strengths and I would write it as a linked collection. And when my agent sold the book to McClellan and Stewart, Anita Chong, the editor, said, "I'd like to work with you. I like this project, but I think it needs to be a real novel, not a linked collection. I want to work towards that. Are you willing to do that?" And I said, "Yes, I think this should be a novel. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it. And if you know, then I'm in, right?"
Yeah.
And so it's very, very challenging for me to think in terms of a 250-page story. There's a lot of balls you have to keep in the air, and I was really eager to break it down into smaller pieces and really focus, and that's kind of a short story writer's mindset, to just focus on very discrete blocks of time. And to build it into a novel, I really had to change how I process it and see it as a whole, as a complete scope of these characters going through the complete trajectory of the book. And I had to hold all of that in my mind at once, which is really hard, really, really challenging. And so I had a lot of help and support for that. I mean, a writing group. Anita was just tremendous. And I was eventually able to do it. But I don't know that that's my natural way of working. I found it really rewarding. Really, I'm just so thrilled to be able to take this story from the beginning to the end. It's very hard to do.
And you're probably a better writer having gone through the challenge of it.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. I learned so much. And I mean, but I also learned so much about my weaknesses and my flaws. And I'm just so eager to keep getting better, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, you climb a little bit of the ways up the mountain, and then you see more about how much further you have to go. So I'm really proud of what I've been able to do, but I just want to get so much better.
Yeah. I just realized, I mean, I ask this question at the end of the interview all the time about what the writer has next up, and it's such a cruel question because, I mean, the writer is usually, you know, out promoting their current book that they're probably not even thinking. Well, I'm not even thinking about what's next. But have you got something in mind as to the next project, say?
I do. Something that I started kind of when I finished the submission manuscript for So Much Love, and was kind of just like, oh, it'll probably take a long time to like get it sold and get it into the editorial process. And I started a new book, but I got two chapters in, and then it was right back to So Much Love, so I haven't gone any further with it yet. But I love it. It's a father-daughter, another multi-perspective novel. It's a lot. It's still got its share of darkness, but I would say it's a lot lighter than So Much Love. It's got a lot more just humor, and it doesn't go to as harsh a place, I think. So I think that will be a bit of a newer, funner trajectory for me. I'm looking forward to getting to it. I'm not quite sure when I'll really be able to sit down with it.
Do you have a say as to the cover of the book?
A little bit I do. I have consultation,
yeah.
Which is different from approval. Basically, they ask me my opinion. But I don't have veto power. Like, they'll try to work with me, and certainly the designer, whose name is Rachel Cooper, at McLellan Stewart, was just really, really wonderful and really eager to kind of talk and read the book and, like, really be in dialogue with everyone and come up with the best possible cover, which I really think she did. And so I was involved. I was seeing different iterations of the cover. But mainly it was Rachel and the editorial team kind of working together, and I was there saying I like this, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean,
but basically they knew what they needed to do.
Yeah, it's such a striking cover. I mean, I'm looking at it right now and thinking about what I've read thus far, and it's I guess it says what it's supposed to say.
I think so. I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think Rachel did a fantastic job. It's actually a black and white photo that she colorized herself. I just think it's really evocative of what the book actually is.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and congratulations on this book and continued good luck with it. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you, too.
The website for more, RebeccaRosenblum.com. The book is called So Much Love. It's published by McLelland & Stewart. It's author Rebecca Rosenblum. Join me on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.